Well, this morning we're going to talk about, well, what Iowans love to talk about, the weather. We've got state climatologist Justin Glisson joining us here this morning, and I want to talk a little bit about, the weather that has been and what it's looking like down the road. It's been very dry here lately, Justin. I think it's been like that all around the state, but have we been any different here in southwest Iowa than folks have been elsewhere?
No, that's a great question. You look at eastern Iowa just this year, widespread D3 conditions on that scale of D0 to D4, extreme drought. Drought you wouldn't see once, but every 40 to 50 years. So when we're talking about drought across the state, it depends on where you're talking about. This is the 183rd consecutive week of at least D1 somewhere in the state. So the driest conditions have been hopping around. If we look at southwestern Iowa and Atlantic specifically, 2023, about 12 inches below average in terms of precipitation. So that's a pretty good deficit to start on. You go back to the start of the drought, Atlantic would expect about 150 inches of precipitation over the last 3.5-4 years. Atlantic is down 37 inches. So definitely we're starting to see hydrological impacts, meaning soil moisture profiles are pretty dry, along with stream flows that are particularly low, and that's just a reflection on how long this drought has existed across the state, the longest drought since 1954 to 1958.
Yeah, I think we all realize that whether we're talking about temperatures or rainfall totals, you know, we ebb, we flow, we have our drier periods and our wetter periods, our warmer and our colder periods, but it just seems like we've been in more of an extended period than normal.
That's correct. You look at 2018-2019, the second and 12th wettest year on record, you put them together, the wettest two calendar years in 151 years of records, 152 starting in 2024. So definitely we've seen improvement, we've seen degradation, but when you're talking about 183 weeks of consecutive drought somewhere in the state, which started in west central Iowa back in June of 2020, definitely a very extended and anomalously long period of dryness across the state. And you look at the upper Midwest on the U.S. Drought Monitor depiction, Iowa seems to be an island of deficits in terms of precipitation, stream flows, soil moisture, but also that red category D3 on the Drought Monitor depiction. We've just been in a split flow, it seems, persistently over the last several years. Precipitation north, precipitation south, tied in with La Nina conditions for three consecutive years, but also, you know, not a lot of severe weather. We've had severe weather events, but when you're in a severe weather drought, for lack of a better phrase, you don't get thunderstorms to produce precipitation, and hence the drought conditions expand and persist.
You know, it's funny you say that, because it seems like we talk about that a lot here, that it kind of seems like when we do get a system that comes through, it always seems to kind of like split and go around us either side. We notice that. I don't know if that's a real thing, but it's what we talk about.
Well, I'm from St. Louis, and we used to call it the arch effect because of the Gateway Arch. We would have lines of thunderstorms that would move through central Missouri and then split up around St. Louis and then reform in Illinois. So that's a micro scale feature. But when you're talking about thunderstorms, if there's not a lot of low level moisture to work with, even soil moisture to feed low level relative humidity, those storms don't have fuel to work off of. So they'll either split up or they'll just dissipate before they enter the region. It's funny you mentioned that as an observation, because we were on a call on August 10, 2020, watching the squall line in Nebraska start to enter Iowa, and wanting that line to stick together because it was bringing rain to the D3 region in west central Iowa, in parts of southern Iowa, and it turned into the derecho, the costliest thunderstorm in United States history. So you need a complex that has a lot of energy to stay together. Otherwise, as you mentioned, it just dissipates or they break up where there's no moisture availability.
Yeah, that's a lot of what. It's the why that drives us a little batty when we look at the pattern that we've been in. We had like a little less than 2 inches of rain over the Christmas weekend during that period, and it seemed like it was never going to stop raining. I mean, that's how long it's been since we've actually got anything, that it just seemed like a lot. But winter's not usually an ideal time to get a lot of moisture in the ground.
Absolutely not. You look at December statewide, we were about 0.5 inch above average only the fourth month in 2023 in which we had a statewide surplus of moisture. So looking at the temperature that we had in December, 9 degrees above average. So soils were not frozen. We had good infiltration of moisture that we did get, especially across southern Iowa. So any moisture that we get in the tank acts as kind of a blanket or a thermodynamic boundary in which wetter soils won't freeze as deep or as fast. And this has implications as we move through late winter into spring thaw. A more shallow freeze level will give us a higher probability of infiltration faster because of faster thawing. But overall, you look at the temperatures that we've seen, very El Nino-ish, and we're in a very moderate to strong El Nino, 54% probability of it being an historically strong El Nino. And in those strong El Nino years, which were 2010 and 2016, the last two, we've trended wetter through winter, which obviously would be great to get any kind of moisture for stream flows and soil moisture if the soils are thawed. But yes, it's been a very odd weather pattern that we've seen over the last several years.
Yeah. So with the El Nino pattern right now, we can quote Justin Glisson as saying it's 100%. It's gonna get wetter here real soon. Not quite that, huh?
We don't. We never say 100% in climatology or meteorology. Definitely.
Well, we thought we'd try.
Yes.
but the pattern is hopefully that we should be a little bit wetter, and if we're a little drier, maybe that'll keep that from just all running off.
Absolutely. But in talking about runoff, we have municipalities in southern Iowa that have some water issues, some water availability issues with some. Not mandatory, but voluntary water restrictions there. So if we do have frozen soils and we do get rain or snow that's melting, that's good for runoff. That's good for streams, and that's good for refilling reservoirs. What we would like to see is both modes of that. Frozen soils get runoff to refill hydrology, but also unfrozen soils to get some moisture in the tank for the next growing season, because particularly in southwestern Iowa and then a swath moving into northeastern Iowa, very dry soil.
Yeah, that's, you know, we've seen our floods in this part of the state as well, but right now it's just the opposite. I mean, sometimes you wonder why we spent money on bridges, because you could darn near walk across some of the creeks and rivers here in the area. We need to refill those for a lot of reasons.
Absolutely. You look at these streams, we're at base flow. Base flow meaning this is the lowest level. You've got some streams, some stretches of the streams in southwestern Iowa where you have no water or you haven't had water for a consecutive period of time. So definitely you look at all the indicators are pointing at particularly dry conditions. Again, a drought you wouldn't have seen since the 50s.
Justin, often this time of the year, we take a look at what's going on to the north of us, too, up in the Dakotas and up in those areas where some of that snowpack will melt later on in the spring and start to feed down the Missouri and some of the other rivers here in the area as something that kind of helps to replenish a little bit. What are they looking at this year?
So you look across the broad swaths of the upper Mississippi Basin, even the Missouri Basin, below average snowpack across a lot of the area up there. Now, we're getting into a more active storm track. Several low-pressure systems will move through the Midwest and upper Midwest, bringing higher snowfall potential for Iowa, particularly western and southern Iowa, but also across the Dakotas into Minnesota and Wisconsin. Current modeling shows the potential for anywhere from 2 to 8 inches across a broad swath of the eastern part of the Dakotas and into Minnesota. So again, that's great news, but we definitely need more snowpack built up to get our river levels back up, because of course they're not record low, but they're very low levels given the widespread drought across the region.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I know you have a chance to speak to different groups, agricultural groups, especially at times around the state. Is there a lot of concern out there on the farm?
I think there's some concern, and speaking with farmers and producers, especially producers that have been hauling water or that have to dig into the hay that they've for wintertime earlier than normal because pastures are burnt up, there is some concern out there, but our farmers are also optimistic, and not a lot of things you can do during drought. can't pray. You can pray for rain, but you know sometimes it doesn't come. But I've been. Our farmers make me more optimistic in terms of what our potential is. Our hybridization of corn and beans has really been astounding. Looking back to 1988 and 2012, the last two pervasive droughts, yields have been phenomenal given how dry conditions are. So I am optimistic in terms of the feedback that I receive from farmers, but they also do so much work for me by providing information that we use as a recommendation to the U.S. Drought Monitor author each week. So it's a great relationship that I have with our farmers and producers across the state and across the region for that matter.
Very good. Well, when it comes to precipitation, we can pray for it, we can predict it, but we can't make it happen. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best.
Absolutely.
Very good. Justin Glisson is a state climatologist joining us here to visit a little bit this morning. Justin, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate the good update.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure to be on the radio.